And now the game where we challenge people who have accomplished important things to accomplish something utterly meaningless. Writer-director Judd Apatow may be the Preston Sturges of stoner comedies. In his own movies like The 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up, and his latest hit Funny People, plus many more films he's produced, he depicts men as ignorant but well-meaning little boys, women as civilizing, if sometimes shrill, objects of desire, and marijuana as a damned fine plant. Judd Apatow joins us now. Welcome to Wait, Wait.
It's great to be here.
John, I just gave a probably unfair summary of your movies. I wanted to give you a chance. Is there a simple way of describing a Judd Apatow movie?
I think you captured it perfectly.
Thank you. I've heard the term bromance applied to your movies, insofar as many of them are about strong emotional, if not quite sexual, attachments between men. Do you buy into that?
I think that's what's happening on your stage right now.
Well, I'm not talking about us, Judd. I'm talking about you.
I think, man love is always a very interesting thing.
Yes.
I can't seem to get enough of it. I don't know why, much to the concern of my wife.
Yeah, I bet. Well, speaking of which, there's a lot of things I want to talk to you about. But not only do you cast your wife in your movies, the fabulous actress Leslie Mann, you also cast your children. You put your whole family in your movies. Is this not odd?
It is odd. You know, the thing is, they make a fair amount of money because there are guild minimums. And then I have to put all this money in the bank.
This is your children.
Because there are laws about this.
You're talking about your children.
My children. And then when they are 18, they're supposed to get the cash. And now, the other day, my daughter, who's 11, said, "How much money is in that bank account, Daddy?" So I'm nervous that she's going to get that money when she's 18 and have, like, $70,000 worth of beer money for college.
Has their stardom gone to their head? Or they start like demanding better trailers and stuff? And have they started to throw diva fits on set?
They truly don't know anything about it because I don't let them see the movies because they're R-rated. I am editing a version of the movie for my daughter Maud where I cut out everything inappropriate, and I think it's going to be 12 minutes long.
Judd, let's talk about you for a second, though. I understand that you started as a stand-up comic, but I've also heard you say that you weren't very good.
I think we let Paula be the judge of that.
Yeah, because you actually opened for Paula. Paula, do you remember seeing Judd's act?
Yes.
All right.
That's how memorable it was.
And understanding, I'm going to guess that you really can't hurt Judd's feelings. Can you tell us about it?
Well, there was a sense in what he was doing that 10, 20 years down the road, he was going to be a very successful director.
I am one of 1,100 faceless Jewish boys who have opened up for Paula on the road.
No. You could tell from the very start that there would be a time that his children would be able to work in his films. You knew it. His kids have bank accounts, for heaven's sakes. It's funny that you say you worry that, you know, they're going to have this money. At least they have their own money. My kids keep asking me if I feel well.
Your movies seem to be about, to whatever degree, losers. We think of the 40-year-old virgin, who is a 40-year-old virgin, and we think of the roommates at the beginning of Knocked Up, and we think even of the Seth Rogen character. These are guys who are not doing well. Is that how you've written about these guys so much? Is that how you see yourself as the loser, the socially maladroit guy who can't get it going?
That is way too heavy for this format right now.
Sorry, man. I thought
asking me to go into a very personable place.
I am.
Are you tearing up right now? Be honest.
I am, but I'm completely naked in my hotel. That's really the part about it.
Tell us, before we go to the game, I'm still curious about your early comedy. What was it like? How would you describe Judd Apatow comedian?
I was basically an observational comedian. I wasn't unique. I had no distinct personality, and I was very young, and so I had no life experience. I made the great soup that was my terrible act. There was a lot of discussion of why girls wouldn't have sex with me and my back hair.
You're making back hair jokes.
I used to talk about how I had so much hair on my back, I could see it in my shadow. That was as good as it got.
Was there a moment where you're on stage and you're like, this is not working, you got to think of something else to do with my life?
I used to open up for Jim Carrey on the road, and I used to see how Adam Sandler was doing 20 years ago, and they were very charismatic people. And I would work with people like Paula, who are brilliant, and I'm not just kissing up to the room, and you would feel like, I am not on the same level as these people. I do need to find another way to be involved in comedy, because I'm never going to be as unique and interesting as I'm on stage, as I'm proving with my performance on your show perfectly.
I have to say, I find you endearingly self-conscious. It's just as I would expect you to be if you were played by Seth Rogen. Although not as stoned. Well, Judd Apatow, we are so delighted to have you with us. We've invited you here to play a game we're calling...
But that's just what they want you to believe.
You've heard about the birthers. Those are the people who believe that Obama was not born in America. But they are not the only and not even the craziest conspiracy theorists out there. So we are going to ask you three questions about other conspiracy theories. Get two out of three right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners.
All right.
Carl, who is writer-director Judd Apatow playing for?
Peter, Judd is playing for Rachel Sawatsky in Taiwan.
Wow. Taiwan, no less.
I was hoping it was going to be Taiwan.
There you are. You got it. We're going to start with a simple question. A British conspiracy theorist named David Icke has been arguing for years that what? Is it A, high fructose corn syrup is a psychoactive drug leading to CIA mind control? B, on January 1st, 2010, our cell phones will wake up and kill us all? Or C, George W. Bush, Queen Elizabeth, and Chris Christopherson, among others, are secretly alien reptiles with a thirst for human blood?
Wow, those are all super, super crazy.
Yes.
It's hard to even pick one that even a crazy person would think was rational. I'm going B. I'm going with the cell phones.
Cell phones are going to wake us up. January 1st, 2010, all of a sudden, the ringtone will be the apocalypse. No, actually, it was C, the reptiles. Mr. Icke is a former professional soccer player. He realized that the alien reptiles were ruling our world and or writing songs for Janis Joplin some 20 years ago. He's been trying to warn us all since. This is not a problem. This is not a problem. Well, it's a problem because there are alien reptiles running the world. But it's not a problem for you because you have two more chances. Here we go. Next question. Some people believe that an evil conspiracy of wealth and power called the Phoebus Cartel has been laboring for decades for what nefarious end? A, to prevent the invention of long-lasting light bulbs. B, they're hiding the evidence that aliens did in fact invent the microwave. Or C, they're preventing us from finding out the wonders of hemp. Phoebus Cartel.
The Phoebus Cartel.
Phoebus, the name is a clue, if that helps.
I'm going to go with A.
You're going to go with A, the light bulbs. You're correct. Well done. They were. The Phoebus collection was a real conglomerate of light bulb manufacturers back in the 20s, and some believe they still operate in the shadows, making sure that we still have to change our bulbs and feed their coffers. All right, this is very exciting, because you get this last one right, you win it all. Some say various groups of powerful or occult people rule our society. That's no secret. We know that's true. The question is, where are they headquartered? Some people have figured it out. They believe that the world-controlling conspiracy is headquartered at A vast undersea base off Atlantic City, New Jersey. B, underneath Denver International Airport. Or C, the Sleeping Beauty's castles in various Disneylands around the world.
I'm going B.
You're
going
to go with B, Denver International Airport. You say that with some confidence, which makes me worry, because you're right. That is the secret headquarters of the cabal that controls our world, according to many people, especially callers into Art Bell's radio show. Their logic, it's got lots of underground tunnels, and if you see the runways from the air, this is true, you know this if you've flown there, it's a swastika out there on the plains of Colorado. Well done. Carl, how did Judd Apatow do in our show?
Well enough, Peter. Judd had two correct answers, so he wins for Rachel Sawatsky.
Well done,
Judd.
Well done. Judd Apatow is a writer-director. His latest movie, the number one movie in the country last weekend, is Funny People. Judd Apatow, so thrilled to talk to you. Thanks for the great movies. Thanks for being here.
All right, thank you.
Take care.